Praise the Lord. We are recording. Okay. Well, most of us have heard about those three Hebrew boys, right, that were thrown in the fire for their disobedience. They defied human authority, and they were tossed in a fiery furnace for their defiance. But here's a little bit of the backstory. I'm going to give you some of the backstory on those guys, okay? And the whole thing that happened kind of wound up to that moment. Then we're going to look at that moment. The Lord let King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylonia conquer his people. And he captured their king, Jehoiakim. And later, Nebuchadnezzar, the king there, who had the power because God gave it to him, he had his men choose from the king's royal people, the king's family, and the nobility. He wanted the wisest, the smartest, the brightest. He wanted the young men. He wanted the people that had wisdom. He was going to groom them into being leadership in his areas, okay, that he ruled. And so Nebuchadnezzar had them pick these men from the king's family, and most of them were actually boys in their teens, late teens. And four of them were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Daniel became Belteshazzar, and then Hananiah became Shadrach. They changed their names. Mishael became Meshach, and Azariah became Abednego. Now, I've heard preachers say Abednego. His name was not Abednego. He wasn't bending anything. He was Abednego. That was his name. Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to be fed with the richest foods, but they refused. All they wanted was vegetables. And the king's man said, if I do that, the king's going to see that you're not well fed, and he's going to have my head lopped off. But the boys said, give us a trial. So he gave them a 10-day trial on vegetables only. And after the 10 days, they were looking better in complexion than the other guys. And so they continued. And then this went on for 3 years while they were learning the language in Babylonia and being schooled in other matters. And Almighty God gave them wisdom, knowledge, and skill in all learning. They had power by God to comprehend what they were learning. Now, and they were better than all their counterparts. They looked better than their counterparts, and they were wiser than their counterparts, these other people. Also, Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Daniel was given the power to discern dreams and visions. So when the king brought them out and interviewed them, he learned they were more outstanding than all the others, and he gave them positions in the royal court. And from then on, whoever the king was going to ask for advice, he found that they were the wisest. They were the most knowledgeable. They were the ones he could count on. In fact, their advice was 10 times better than the advice of others. And so he was pleased by this. They were better than any of his other advisors and wise guys. And one night, Nebuchadnezzar had a troubling nightmare, and he demanded that all of his advisors would tell him what the dream was and give him the interpretation of it. Of course, they didn't know what the dream was. How are they going to know what the dream is? He had the dream. They didn't have the dream. But he wanted them to just tell him what the dream was, and he wanted them to tell him the interpretation of the dream. And when they refused and said they couldn't, he said he wanted them all killed. All of them, including Daniel and his boys, okay? So, Daniel, he pleaded to be spared in a time so that he could bring the interpretation of the dream. Not only the interpretation of the dream, but the dream itself. And the dream was about all these kingdoms that would come, including from then on till now, as a matter of fact. I'm not going to go into all that background. We'll look at that another time. But Daniel was able to see in this vision that he had, he saw the dream, and then he also received the interpretation. So he gave Nebuchadnezzar the interpretation of the dream. When he gave Nebuchadnezzar the interpretation of the dream, Nebuchadnezzar worshipped God. He said, blessed be the Most High God. Your God's the Most High God. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He ascribed that title to Almighty God. So now here we see Nebuchadnezzar actually gave credit where credit was due. But later we see where he took the credit for himself, and that got him into a lot of hot water. But as this story unfolds, we see that these guys, Daniel and his three friends, they were continuing to be advisors to King Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel and his friends served the king faithfully for probably another 10 years. But Nebuchadnezzar then made a gold idol, and he demanded that all would worship it. And that's where we're going to pick up today. in Daniel chapter 3. If you want to use the Pew Bible, you'll find it on page 597 in the Pew Bible. We're going to begin at verse 1, and we're going to read through verse 30. That's Daniel chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. And we're going to read to the end of the chapter, which would be verse 30. And this is going to give you the whole story from start to finish. After we pray, I want you to hear what's written there. Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you. You are the God of my fathers who has given me wisdom and might. And you make known, Lord, I ask now unto us what we desire of you. Let us know what you have for us and all who would hear this message, Lord. Your will be done here today. Take my mouth and use it to your glory. I pray it is so. So be it. Daniel chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, and hear what's written there. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and its width 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, all the officials of all the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So they all came, the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of all the provinces gathered together for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." So at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, and the lyre, in symphony with all kinds of music, all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the gold image which Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image, and whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, so that they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "Oh, true, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they're not hurt. And in the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. I trust that God will add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word today. I don't know about you folks, but that's pretty amazing to me. You know, you think about it. The king demanded idol worship. He's the highest in authority. Can you imagine, let's say, here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, if you upset the governor, if the governor told you, "You got to bow down before this idol," and you refused? Well, the governor had the state cops on you, wouldn't he? And if you were standing before the president of these United States and he told you to bow down before a golden idol and you refused, what would happen? Somebody'd grab you. Well, that's what happened. They were standing before the man who was the highest in authority there in that land. They were slaves. Even though they had been given positions of authority, they had no authority to deny the king's request or demand, for that matter. The king told them, "Bow down." And they said, "No, sorry, king, we draw the line there. We're not going there. Not going to happen. Doesn't matter what you say. Doesn't matter. Our God is going to save us. But even if he doesn't, we're not bowing down." Why would they take that position in facing such dire circumstances? They were, one word, committed to Almighty God. They were committed. They were faithful. Nebuchadnezzar was furious. He had bestowed privileges on these guys. He had given them positions of authority in his kingdom. So he had that fire pumped up seven times hotter than usual. They probably had to add fuel to it. They had to pump it up. To get it hot, they had to add something. Most definitely, they were cranking those bellows. You could see the sparks flying out of that furnace as they were pumping up the air to get that furnace hotter and hotter and hotter. Nebuchadnezzar was the final human authority over this matter. Nobody could overrule him. Nobody could stop him from throwing those boys in the fire. And just think about that, okay? Where was Almighty God? As they were preparing to go into the fire, this is the God that they were honoring. This is the God they were committed to. Where was he? Why would he allow them to go into that fire? Why would God let me? Why would God let me go into this fire? They could have said. But we don't hear them say that, do we? We don't hear them question God at all. No. They got bound up, tied, and tossed into the fire. And the guys that threw them in, that fire was so hot it killed them. The cops that had them tied up, tossed them in the fire, they died. Now, think about this for a moment, okay? As them boys are standing there at the opening of that fire, that heat's blazing out of there, and these guys are dropping dead as they're falling into the fire, don't you think for a moment they must have felt the presence of Almighty God because that fire had no effect on them? And why? Because they were faithful to Him. Because they were committed to Him. Their hearts were sold out for God. There was no way they were going to let that king make them bow before an idol. Wasn't going to happen. Wasn't going to happen. Didn't matter what the idol was. He was not going to allow. Shadrach, no way. Meshach, uh-uh. Abednego, no way. Not going to happen. Sorry, king. We'll go in the fire. They were that committed. How many of us are that committed? Think about it. Think they might have had some fears. They watched that scene unfold before their eyes. Doesn't say they did. Doesn't say they didn't. But one thing we know, they were not going to give in to King Nebuchadnezzar. They knew he was the highest authority. They knew they had a duty. They knew they had an obligation to obey that authority. But under those circumstances, it throws us back to the time whenever we think about Peter and the others who were arrested for preaching in the name of Jesus Christ, and they were commanded not to. They were sent on their way after getting a beating, and then they come back out there, and what'd they do? They went out there preaching the Word of God. And they got arrested again. And when they got arrested again, what did Peter say? Peter and the others said, we ought to obey God rather than man. God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So they were tied up, standing there waiting to get tossed into the furnace. They could have. Wait. We changed our mind. God will forgive us, right, Lord? You know our hearts are right. We're just going to do this so we save our lives. They could have bowed down and saved their lives. Were they committed 1%? Were they committed 5%? Were they committed 10%? No, they were committed 100%. No bowing down. No bowing down. They refused to bow, and they were tossed into that fire fully dressed. Fully dressed, head to toe, tossed into the fire. Now, I don't know about you folks, but I've seen fire when it burns clothing. Now, I don't know what their clothes were made of. It doesn't say. But as they went into that fire, those cops that threw them in died. They must have felt the presence of God. And Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who were now called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were still tied up as they went in that fire. But when the king looks in, what does he see? He sees them walking around. And not only them, he sees somebody else with them. So didn't we throw in three guys? Why do I see four? That fourth one looks like the Son of God. And whenever they came out of that fire, when he called them out of that fire, what happened? Come on out of there. And they came out, and they said they didn't smell like smoke. Their hair wasn't singed. Their clothes weren't dirty like they'd been in a fire. Nothing. That fire didn't touch them. Didn't touch them at all. Not even a little bit. Imagine that. Imagine that. Didn't touch them one bit. Let me tell you something. They didn't recant their refusal to worship the golden image. They remained 100% faithful all the way up to the furnace. And as they were tossed in, we don't hear them yelling, hold up, I'll bow. No. They went into the fire. Let me tell you something, okay? From Zechariah chapter 13, God said He will bring the remnant through the fire. He said He will bring the remnant through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on My name and I will hear them. I will say it is My people and they shall say the Lord is My God. Not somebody else. The Lord is my God. Praise be to God. Can we praise God today? Can somebody say praise God? Praise God. Praise God. He's the one who delivers in the fire. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 5 through 7 tells us we are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. He said, oh yeah, you're going to go through some troubles. that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, he says your faith is worth more than gold. Your faith is worth more than gold. That's right. The streets of heaven are paved in gold, aren't they? Gold's just pavement in heaven. But your faith is more valuable than gold. Though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Praise His holy name. Praise His holy name. Give praise to God. Think about it now. How would you feel if this happened to you? You're faithful to God. You do everything God wants you to do. Every day you're right there. You do your devotions. You're reading your Bible. You're praying to God. You bow down before nobody. And some test comes along and you pass that test. You do not bow down before the idol. And then God lets you get tossed in the fire. How's that going to make you feel, huh? Hey, God, where are you at? Come on, I've been faithful to you now. What are you doing letting me get tossed in this fire? I'm faithful. Where are you? What are you letting this happen to me for? I'm guessing there's a lot of us that might think that way. You know, those three young men were just human as each and every one of us are. They weren't any different. They didn't have any special fire-resistant powers, and they didn't have any flame-retardant clothing, okay? They didn't have a secret stash of fire extinguishers somewhere. They didn't have some trick up their sleeves that was going to get them out of this. They had to trust 100% on God. That fire was hot, and they knew it. Praise God for their faith. Praise God for the example of their faith. Because even if we go to our death for believing, we have not failed. We have believed, and our faith is better than gold. Couldn't they just bow to that idol for a moment and save their lives? After all, God knew their hearts, right? Sure. He'd forgive them. What about once saved, always saved? I got my brothers and sisters out here going to get mad at me now. But there are people that will tell you, well, once I'm saved, I'm always saved. There's nothing I can do to take myself out of God's hand. Had somebody tell me one time they could take the mark of the beast and not be condemned because they wouldn't mean it after all. They wanted to live so they could continue to work for God. Once saved, always saved, they said. That's what they told me. I can do whatever I want because I'm saved. But let me tell you, and I'll tell them if they're listening, those Hebrew boys knew the truth, and that truth set them free. Even though they were bound in ropes, even though they were put into a fire that was seven times hotter than ever before, that was probably like a kiln. Like a huge kiln to melt down the metals, probably was used to melt down the gold that idol was made from. The idol had been formed out of that melted gold. But them boys, they didn't catch fire because God was with them. They didn't melt down. They didn't burn up because God was with them. Here they were, so at the last moment. They're standing at the opening to the furnace, about to get shoved in. Still no God. Hey, God, I'm here. This doesn't look good. I don't like the looks of this fire, Lord. If they had bowed to worship that idol, they'd still be burning. God said, "You shall have no other gods before me." God said, "You shall not make yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, or that is in earth below, or that is in the water underneath the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." Do you think our God is not a jealous God today? Do you think we can worship something else and God says, "That's okay? That's all right. I understand. I get it. I know the world you're living in is a bad world. It's a bad place. After all, you got to give in once in a while. You got to go headlong with the crowd. You got to do what everybody says. Otherwise, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Well, let me tell you, you're going to get in trouble if you disobey God. And that's the one I'm concerned about. God said he visits the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate him, but he shows mercy to thousands to those who love him and keep his commandments. That's found in the 20th chapter of Exodus. It's a mighty fine thing for God to do to them boys, isn't it? Here they are showing their faith. Loving God, 100%. They were committed. Yeah, they honored his word, yet he still let King Nebuchadnezzar toss him into that fire. Into the fire. And I got to thinking about that. God is the God of miracles. God will deliver us. He will deliver us. We always like to see it happen before we get into the trouble, before we get into the fire. We want him to deliver us before we get hit by the hard circumstances. But sometimes, he doesn't rescue us from the fire. He rescues us in the fire. That's what he did with these boys. And that struck me. As I was praying this morning, I got to thinking, how much were them boys committed? Obviously 100%. And I got to thinking, as they were standing at the opening of that fire-breathing furnace, they must have known God was right there with them. Because if that fire didn't singe their hair, but it killed the guys that were throwing them in, they knew. They knew when they got tossed into the fire. When I first wrote the notes, I started thinking on my terms how I would feel. Well, hey, God, where are you? Then I got to realizing they knew. Once they got up to that fire, they knew. And this reminded me of a time when Jesus sent his boys out in a boat. And I thought Connie was going to bring that out today whenever she talked about the fishermen, throw the net on the other side. But Jesus sent them out in a boat onto the sea there, and he knew it was going to storm. He sent them out into that storm, deliberately testing their faith. And just as that storm is rocking their boat and they think they're going to drown, here comes Jesus walking on the sea. Can you just imagine that? The waves are roaring. And here comes Jesus. He's the master of the sea. He just walks right up on that water like it isn't even there. And didn't he do the same thing in that fire? Just walk right into that fire. He's the master of the elements. He's the master of the water. He's the master of the fire. And it doesn't matter if you find yourself up to your neck in water or if you're surrounded by fire. Almighty God is there and he will deliver you. You need to trust him. It's not always easy, though. He's always on time. We only need to believe him and trust him. In Isaiah chapter 43, I want you to hear what's written there. But now, thus says the Lord who created you, and he who formed you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. Nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Praise God. He's your Savior. Doesn't matter if it's water, doesn't matter if it's fire, doesn't matter what the circumstances are. If he can overcome that, he can overcome anything. There is nothing in our lives that can't be overcome by our Almighty Creator. Nothing. Nothing has power over him. He is Almighty. Know that. When we read a little further on Nebuchadnezzar there, we see him marveling as he gazed into that fire, expecting to see them boys fired. He was like, "You're fired." Threw them in the fire. And what happened? God came through for them. They came out and all the leadership gathered around. The boys don't even smell like fire. Hair's not burned. Turban's okay. The cloak's all right. Man, it don't even seem like they went in the fire. They were amazed. Praise God. They didn't look like or smell like they were in the furnace. But our God is always on time. Even when we're in the fire, He's our strength. And Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10 is where we find it written, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Now I'm going to tell you folks, run to your Creator when you find yourself in the fire. When you find yourself in the water, when you're up to your neck, you can't take any more. Run to your Creator. Run to Him. Run to Him in prayer. Tell Him you need Him. Tell Him you believe in Him. Tell Him you won't bow down to any idols. Tell Him it doesn't matter what anybody else says or does. You love Him and will serve Him alone. And know that He's there for you. Know it. He's always on time. In Psalm 56, it's written, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in You, O God. I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? Those Hebrew boys, they could have said the same thing. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we know that You are the king and we are to obey You, except when You tell us to do something that goes against Almighty God, in which case then we need to tell You no. Each of you need to remember that too, because there will come a power on this earth at some point in time is going to try to demand your worship, and you need to tell him, no, I worship God only. I will not bow down before an image. I will not bow down before anyone but Almighty God. I will not worship any but God. The Lord God is my strength. It's written in Habakkuk chapter 3. He will make my feet like deer's feet. What's a deer's foot like? It cuts through everything. It cuts through everything. You see those deer out in the woods? I watch them run sometimes when I'm out there. Them deer, they don't miss a step, let me tell you. And that's what he's saying. He will make your footsteps sure. He will guide you in where you place your feet. Think about that. He will make me walk on my high hills. He'll bring you out of the valleys. He'll bring you out of the storms. He'll bring you out of the fire. He'll bring you out of the water. He'll bring you out of the troubles. He'll bring you out of the trials. He'll redeem you, even if it is in eternity. Know that. After witnessing the strength and power of Almighty God to deliver these three men from His wrath in the fire, Nebuchadnezzar had a turn of heart. He said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent His angel and delivered His servants that trusted in Him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies. They yielded their bodies. Yielded their bodies. Them boys yielded their bodies. Yielded. Think about that. They yielded. They surrendered. They acquiesced to Almighty God's will. That they might not serve or worship any god except their own God. Isn't that where we all should be? We shouldn't worship any other god. Yeah, I've heard people who were in addiction talk about the needle like it's their god. I'm not kidding you, folks. I've heard that. It's like they're worshiping that needle as they plunge it into their body. We're not to worship any other gods. And I'll tell everybody who's in addiction, they need to stop. I'll tell anybody who's in addiction, they need to stop. They need to break that addiction. Almighty God will break it. Oh, yeah. There's no need to give in to it. There's no need to bow down before that idol. Oh, no. Those boys knew when they refused to obey the king, it meant death, but they believed Almighty God would save them, but even if not, they weren't going to bow. Nebuchadnezzar cursed anybody who even spoke against Almighty God, because there's no other God that can pull off a rescue like this. That's what he said in a sense. Essentially, that's what he said. There's no other God that can pull off a rescue like this. Them boys were in the fire. They weren't standing 100 yards away. They weren't 100 feet away. They weren't 5 feet away. They weren't 1 foot away. They weren't at the edge of the furnace. They were in it. They were in that fire, and Almighty God came in there, and he said, okay, we're going to save you here, boys. We're going to get some glory out of this, too. And Nebuchadnezzar gave Almighty God glory. Unfortunately for him, it took him a few more times before he figured it all out. Now, I'm going to wrap this up, okay? When you find yourself in life's fires, when they seem to be hotter than ever, here's a question for you. Do you trust God? Do you trust God when the co-workers are out of control? Do you trust God when the clients are out of control? Do you trust God when the snow is pouring down? Do you trust God when the finances don't seem to be enough to meet the needs? We're forced to do that here. There are times when we say, well, Lord, almost like that movie when they put the $2 in the thing, Mama Dollar and Papa Dollar. Start a family of dollars. God will pay the bills. We'll figure it out with his help. Do you know that he's right there with you in the fire? Do you know that? He's right there with you in the fire. No matter what that fire is. Sure, he lets you get into the furnace. Sometimes you climb in yourself. You don't even realize it. You're the one that does it. You're the one that said, okay, God, I'm going to just jump in this fire. Oh, but don't even think that because you are trusting God that he's going to deliver you when you deliberately try to test him. Remember, Jesus said, thou shalt not test the Lord your God. You shouldn't tempt God. Don't jump into the fire on purpose. But if you're resisting an unlawful order, and Almighty God does not want you to bow to an idol, and God says you do not bow to any idol, and you get thrown in the fire, you can trust that he will save you. He will deliver you, even if it's in the fire. I'm sure there were many over the years whose lives were taken by others because they wouldn't recant their faith, because they wouldn't bow down before an idol, and they were put to fire. Many of them were burned at the stake. I have a namesake, Johann Pistorius. He was a German reformer back in the 1500s. Young man, refused to recant his faith. Burned at the stake in 1525, May 25th, 1525. And I wonder if maybe some of that blood's running in my veins, because I'll tell you, folks, I do not want to ever have to recant my faith. I will stand with God. I will stand for God. And if necessary, then let him take me. Let him throw me in the fire. Oh, I'm not asking to be. I'm not begging to be. I don't want to be. But if that's what it comes down to, I will not recant my faith, because I believe Jesus Christ, Yeshua, is our Messiah. He is the one who came to redeem us from all sin, all iniquity, all hardship, all illness, all sickness. He's the one that can heal us. He's the one that can make us free. He's the one that can take us from where we are to where he wants us to be. And there's none of us that can change that. All we need to do is obey him. Trust and obey. There's no other friend like the lowly Jesus. Let's live for him. When he lets you get into that furnace, do you know that he's right there with you? And are you walking and talking with him? That's what those boys were doing. They were walking around with Jesus. They were walking and talking with him. Okay? When you get into the fire, are you walking and talking with Jesus? Are you letting him know that you're counting on him to save you? That's what he wants. He wants to redeem you. He doesn't want you to stay in that fire. Are you hearing his voice? Or are you listening to the voice of the enemy who wants you to doubt and be full of fear? I confess there are times when I hear the voice of the enemy who wants me to doubt and be in fear. I confess before you all and Almighty God, and I repent of that, and I ask God to strengthen me against it. When I find myself in the fire, do you know whenever I'm putting these messages together, God's got this big mirror around me, and there ain't nowhere I can turn I can get away from that mirror. Because I have to preach to me. Sometimes he shows me that's exactly where I am. I'm on the edge of the furnace, and those boys are about to throw me in. And he says, oh, now, do you really have faith? Are you really trusting me, John? Are you trusting me? And I said, praise God, yes. I'm trusting you, Lord. Help me. Help me, Father. I believe. Help me with my unbelief. Let me be yours and yours alone. I want to bow before no other. Yes. And that's what I want for all of you and everybody who hears this message. I want you to know that God is the God of the 11th hour. And sometimes that 11th hour happens when you're in the fire. Not outside of it. Not before you get into it. Yield yourself to the Lord as those three young men did. If he could deliver them from fire, he can deliver you from anything. Anything. Bow to none but Almighty God. And allow him to rescue you. Even if. Now hear me. Even if he waits until you are in the fire. Okay? Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are yours, Lord, and we want to serve none but you. Help us. Oh, dear God, help us. We need you, Lord. We need you every hour. We need you. God, help us to see you in our presence. Help us to feel your presence. Help us to know that you are with us. You said you'll never leave us. You said you'll never forsake us. You said that if you are for us, who can be against us? And so, God, help us to remember these things, that in Christ we can do all things that strengthen us. Help us, Father. We need to know this. We need to have it inside of us, Lord. We want to have your power surge through us, that as we touch people, their lives would be transformed, that their bodies would be transformed, that their spirits would be transformed, that their minds would be transformed, that everything in their lives would be transformed, that God, they would know that we know you, that they would know we're in touch with you, that they would know your presence is with us. Oh God, I ask that you would pour your spirit upon this congregation and all who hear this message. God, I ask you, please, please pour your spirit out on us, Lord. Ignite us with that fire, not the fire of the furnace, but the fire of the Holy Spirit. Help us to be on fire for you, Lord. Ignite our souls that we would do nothing but work for you, that we would bow down before no other, that we would want to worship you and you alone, that we want to serve you and you alone, and none other, I pray, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 oh God, hallelujah, praise be to God, praise be to God, hallelujah, 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 oh God, thank you, Lord. Thank you for pouring yourself out on this congregation and all who hear this message. God, thank you for infusing us at the cellular level, at the base level of our creation, Lord. You created us, and we know you can fill us with your Spirit. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Help us to be holy like you are holy. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And now, if you will, open your hymnals to number 445. We will sing No, Not One, number 445. And if you can, please stand as we sing number 445, No, Not One. Thank you.
Hi, this is Michaela. We're going to like visit with us next Sunday.